Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Today, apps that will make you contemplate your life here on this earth.
And then blow some people up.
And I'm going to show you an app that's going to teach me how to photograph as well as Leo does.
Oh, it's time for iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. I hear somebody talking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I hear Andy Puddicombe. Are you meditating?
I wasn't meditating. I was playing a game that is, maybe
strange.
The opposite of meditating.
Welcome to iOS Today. This is the show where I, Leo Laporte, and you, Megan Maroney, talk about the latest iOS stuffage, whether it would be for our iPad or iPhone, our Apple Watch, our Apple TV, all of that stuff we think of as iOS, even though Apple has different names now for them. And that's what we do on the show. A lot of times we talk about apps, we give you tips. Today you came up with the strangest subject I've ever heard of.
Well, let's be clear.
It was very open, which is good, because I came up with very different answers.
Let's be clear. I tried to pin you down to come up with a topic last Tuesday, and you said, we just did a show. I'm not ready to talk about it.
Yes. So that's fair, right?
And then
give me a day. We just did a show. Let me enjoy having done.
Yes. But then I proceeded to send you all kinds of practical topics.
You did? I didn't see those.
Workout apps or calendaring or journaling.
I missed
all kinds of things. And then I just realized.
I really liked the one you came up with.
Yes. Apps that make you contemplate your place here on this earth.
I thought, what has she been smoking?
Yes.
But to make this so I can participate, give us an example. What do you mean by apps that help us contemplate our meaning here on life on Earth?
Well, very obviously, I meant games that you play as a man, a shirtless man in a cauldron and with an axe trying to...
Was this what inspired it?
This is what, yes. Thank you to the viewer who sent me the idea
this
for
this. This is the strangest game I've ever seen.
Getting over it. I'm already halfway
through. That's the name of
it. So
getting
here
over
I am.
It. Getting over
the man with the cauldron, the shirtless man, and then this guy is talking. He doesn't talk the whole time, but he kind of talks about as to how he built. Let's play the game. So I'm going to swing around. It's a physics game. I have to put my pickaxe in there, and I've played this game a lot. I'm falling.
Why is he stuck in a cauldron?
Don't ask. You don't want to know the answer.
And he's using a sledgehammer.
Yes. It is my task simply to drag myself up a mountain. Let's start over. How about we can start over?
And what is the guy saying?
I want to play a new game. He's talking about life. So it's getting over it with Bennett Foddy.
Oh. That's like Andy Putty.
Yeah. So here I am. I've just...
What is it about British people?
I don't know. And so don't go backwards, because what would happen if I went backwards was this. Oh, no.
Oh. Is Bennett going to speak to us?
Eventually he will. So...
You know what? They make it look easy at first.
Yeah, they... This...
Wow.
Yeah.
You have to climb a tree with a sledgehammer?
And I don't know
this guy's got really... good upper body strength.
He does. And sometimes he takes a breath and he's like, he makes grunt. Can you hear the grunting sounds?
Turn it up. We need to hear more.
I'm all the way up.
Yeah. Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
That's not Leo. That's the guy in the cauldron. Okay, so let me take a running start on this.
You didn't pay for this, did you?
Oh, no, I didn't. You did. I think
How
it's
much?
$2.99,
okay, $3.99. It's a, you know what I love about it? Some indie game developer just said, let's do this. And he did it.
It's
and I love that.
Yeah, it was on Steam first. It's
really?
Yeah. And then eventually he'll come and talk to me about frustration and starting over.
So you do get some, like, life lessons.
There's no feeling more intense than starting over.
Mm-hmm.
If you deleted your homework the day before it was due, as I have, or if you left your wallet at home and you have to go back after spending an hour in the commute.
Hate that.
If you won some money at the casino,
yeah,
and then put all your winnings on red, but it came up black.
Yeah.
Yep.
If you got your best shirt dry cleaned before a wedding.
Well, he's got a lot of examples.
If you won an argument with a friend.
Isn't that ironic?
They just returned to
a little ironic, yeah. Don't you think?
It is.
Is harder than starting up.
Starting
if
over
you're not ready for that,
is hard.
Like, if you've already had a bad day, mm-hmm. then what you're about to go through might be too much.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's hanging by his armpit.
Yeah, he is.
I'll be here.
So,
wow, this pretty much defines the category.
Yeah.
And not merely defines it, but pretty much completes it.
Yeah.
Thanks
so
for joining
it.
Us, everybody. I mean, you can't get more contemplating your, what is it again?
Your existence here, on this earth.
You couldn't get more of that than that.
Yeah, you couldn't.
So as soon as I saw that, I thought, well, I can come up with some like that.
Can you? Yeah. I challenge you.
Well, I first thought it was Dumb Ways to Die, but I've showed that before, right?
Yeah. So, you've even showed Dumb Ways to Die 2.
And 3. There's many Dumb Ways to Die. This is for Kevin. Hungry Shark World. Kevin, you know, loves sharks. Yep. And this is a sequel to one of the most popular games on the iPad and iPhone. You're a hungry, hungry shark. And you're just swimming around and you're eating things. You could eat people. Okay, I got to warn you. Children, stop looking.
So if we are contemplating our existence here on Earth, are we the shark or the person?
You are the shark.
Okay.
But really, it's the circle of life.
Just keep swimming.
You can't stop.
You can't.
And you get bigger as you eat.
That
you got to watch
true.
Out for things, though, right, Kevin? You can't. Puffer fish are bad for you.
I know.
Oh, here we are in the cave.
If anything is a metaphor for life, it's puffer fish are bad for you.
Yeah. Jellyfish, not so good either. See, look at that. That hurt. That hurt.
Can you eat the jellyfish?
No. Well, you might be able to eat them, but you got to eat them just right. Because what? Don't eat that! Oh! Silly shark.
Oh, no.
Now I'm
starving.
I got to eat something.
Eat the other shark.
I wish I could, but I can't. A gemfish got my survival bonus upgrade. Oops, says go that way. There's treasure. I need an XL shark to eat jellyfish. Anyway, you get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
You're a shark. It's actually very soothing in a strange way because... Oh, I died. So it's soothing because you're in a beautiful shark world.
Mm-hmm.
Eating everything you can see.
That fits the... I think that fits the category. A lot of metaphors for life.
Yeah. Always got to keep swimming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Careful what you bump into.
Exactly. You can't eat the other sharks.
Nope.
We try. Anyway,
this is the newest one, Hungry Shark World, and actually even more satisfying than Hungry Shark.
Mm.
Hungry, hungry shark.
As a shark expert, Kevin, what do you think?
Is it? Yeah, big heart. Kevin loves it.
Okay, so this next one was recommended by a viewer named Randy, who I've been communicating with for a while. I have a backstory on Randy.
Really, should we be sharing this in public?
Yeah, we've already shared it on, I think, Tech News Weekly.
Oh, okay.
So, Randy emailed me about a year ago and said, my wife keeps passing out when she's doing VR.
Like going unconscious?
Yeah. What can I do?
Doing VR.
Yes, that was our, and we said, ha ha ha. And then viewer who was a doctor emailed me and said she needs to really get that checked
out.
Take
that seriously.
That happened to my wife and you know she needed heart surgery. And Randy's wife did go it was really good. The doctor was like, thank goodness you came here.
You saved her life.
Yes, I saved her life.
It's very, very seldom podcasts save people's lives.
No, I know.
This is very exciting for me.
But yeah, no, really the doctor who wrote in saved his life. But, you know,
we connected them.
You started this network, so really you saved
her life.
Her life. Yeah,
way back in 2004. I had a thought there will be people out there who will pass out while they're doing VR. Why did you? So what is that a symptom of?
It was arrhythmia. I'm not sure.
Oh, arrhythmia.
It was something bad.
Randy, that's why we do the heart study on our Apple Watches. Mm-hmm. Just that, I would bet you if that would also diagnose it besides passing out. Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, Randy just recently wrote me and he had another app recommendation. She's fine. She's perfectly healthy. And everything's great. And Randy is also very happy because 6 times a day he contemplates his own death.
You know, I like this app. I know where you're going with this. And it sounds morbid.
6 times a day.
And it is.
In Bhutan, that's what they do to create happiness.
Bhutan, where instead of the gross national product, they talk about the gross national happiness. Mm-hmm. It is the happiest place on earth after Disneyland. And I know because my friend Chris Marquardt, our photographer guru, goes there every year. And he says, yes, it's wonderful. They're very happy. And they're also Buddhists. And one of the religious tenets that they have in Bhutan is that at least 6 times a day you think about your mortality.
Mm-hmm. So we like to do that with an app.
I think this is kind of cool.
We croak.
Everybody croaks.
So this was just one of my six. These are random times of the day. It's not the same time of the day.
And it goes, you quote. Mists,
you read it, yes.
Means that while they may appear solid and to have distinct forms, they are also immaterial and can really become formless.
Readily, yes.
Readily.
That's Eugene Thacker, whatever that may be. So
that's not really about death. Let's get another one.
You can't just get one.
Because there are some that are really like, you're going to die, dude.
Yeah, there are some really great ones. Let's see if I have a different one on my eye.
And does this go on your watch, too? Because that's really where I want to see that.
Okay, my friends from WeCroak, I should actually contact support and tell WeCroak.
WeCroak.
I'm going to contact WeCroak because I do get them on my watch, but I don't get the quote. It just says.
It just says you're
going to
die.
Yeah, it just says, don't forget, you're going to die. Can you see that?
That's probably sufficient.
Don't forget, you're going to die.
But no quote.
Swipe to see the quote, but.
Oh, they got to work on that.
But just don't forget you're going to die soon is a good reminder.
6 times a day.
Yeah.
Now, how long have you been doing this?
Maybe a week.
Wow. That's 42 quotes of death.
Yeah.
So what is the upshot of this?
Well, I mean,
is it grim and depressing or are you enlivened by it?
I personally am enlivened by it.
And I think it's kind of like, I don't have much time, so I better get going.
Yeah. Once I got the,
wait till you're my age, you'll think about death more than 6 times a day.
Once I got the notification while I was exercising, which I was kind of like, right now, am I going to die? Because this lo and behold app.
Are you supposed to think like, okay, what if I were going to die now?
Right. You're supposed to be scrolling through Instagram and get that notification and be like, oh, really? Do I have to go live my life? I don't want to be sitting here on Instagram.
Is this what you want to be remembered for?
Right. Is this what you want to keep doing? Like, when you're on your deathbed, are you going to be like, oh, I wish I had liked more Instagram photos? Or no. I was going to say scrolling through Facebook, but I know that you have deleted
I have Facebook. Deleted my Facebook. I had it with those guys, those crooks. Mm-hmm. I'm done.
So, yeah, I think I've brought this up at many a cocktail party over the last week.
Oh, you must be a real welcome guest. We're all going to die.
Yeah, I have. Like, oh, I have this app that reminds me 6 times a day that I'm going to die. What do you think of that? I have an awesome party guest.
But they are very happy in Bhutan.
Yeah, I think it.
How many parties a week do you go to?
So many.
I haven't been to a party in months.
I'm sure you were invited to the party. It was the school fundraiser that I brought it up to many different people, probably. I'm sure you were invited to that.
Yeah, I'd rather die. So I have a game that is funny. It's a Teutonic spear game called Lichtspear. Lichtspear.
Oh, contemplating my own death.
Lichtspear.
Just spit on me.
It's Lichtspear. It is. I don't know if they're really from Germany or they just have this kind of Wagnerian. I don't know. But the idea is, we are thinking. The idea is, you are this. I am in das ancient Weilwood. There's this kind of weird. Just anyway, let's start it. You'll lose your... No. Das is not okay. Nine. Continue. Yeah. So I'm going to meet the nice wizards in das ancient Wildwood. At least 70 headshots. Don't lose your licht. Okay.
What's a licht again?
Really, this is a very simple game. It's a spear throwing game.
Is a licht a spear?
Light.
Oh, light.
And the idea is you're killing, I don't know, zombies, ancient creatures. It's a little bloody because, you know, you get rewards for shooting them in the head. It's actually kind of fun and somewhat soothing until the bad guys start coming really quickly. And then you just gotta... But it's fun. And it's what I also like about it. You know, I've often talked about native iPad apps, you know, and this one really has very native controls. Just kind of makes sense. You know, you're aiming and shooting. It's like Angry Birds without the birds or the pigs.
I am noticing that your apps that help you contemplate life are much more violent.
About death.
they're much more violent.
See all these people dying? This reminds me that I'm going to be one of them if I don't hurry up and kill things. Oh, gosh. And now I'm dead. But I can tap for revenge. This is actually a fun game, Spielicht. It's not free. It's a couple bucks. Well worth it. If you like this kind of game.
I have yet to find a free game lately that I like.
No, I don't get free games. In fact, I'll show you in a bit a game that is not far from free. It's like ridiculously expensive. That's my next game.
Oh.
That's another way to contemplate life. Waste money on games.
Yeah. Yeah, getting over it, that first one was $5. We Croak is 99 cents. 99 cents to be reminded of death.
Seems like they should pay you.
And then this one is $5, and it's called Flower.
This is so beautiful.
Do you like
Flower? It's from Santa Monica. Annapurna. You know, they have a problem in Santa Monica. There's these electric scooters. They're all over the place.
Huh.
And people just, you rent them, but people just ride them somewhere, and they leave them there.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a problem. And at night, the scooter truck comes and collects them all.
All right.
Flower.
Flower. So dark, dank apartment music. Okay, I know. I'm going to steer. It's going to be tough to stay in the camera, but okay.
What are we doing? What are we doing here? Are we trying to run flowers down? Is that what we're trying to do? We're trying to kill
trying
flowers before they
the
kill
game.
Us?
Okay.
Just go ahead and just go for it. Really aggressively steer. I think you have to do that.
Oh, okay.
They're not going to let you.
Touch and hold.
Touch and hold. Kill that flower before it kills
You're not killing anything.
What kind of game
is
that?
You're flying through a field. Oh, first you're in
the city. But let's get out of the city and go to the country. I'm a city kid. I like the sounds of the city.
I do, too. They're very soothing.
Yeah.
But too much city.
Well, you got to have some country with your city.
Anyone.
Mix it in. Mix it together. You
know, look at the
tree grows in Brooklyn and all that.
Beautiful on the It also beautiful on the iPhone 10.
Music's pretty, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even if you have allergies to pollen, this won't affect you.
Yeah, not at all. You can stay inside your house. This is like very Ready Player One. You're going to just be living in... and...
We're in the country. There's a petal. Follow that petal. Wherever that pedal may lead.
I got a hold to fly forward, and I'm tilting to steer. And the point is to catch some flowers.
You know what would make this game really great?
What?
That sharks.
Someone dying.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I recorded some gameplay.
I'm
going to
pass out. I'm getting queasy. Wow.
I don't like that part. Yeah,
Can I not do that? Can I do something else? Like move it with my...
I missed the flower.
I don't like the steering part. You know why I don't like the steering? See, this is what I mean by iPad. This is iPad specific, and yet I don't like the controls. And the reason I don't like it is because the world moves as you steer. When you're really in steering in a car, the steering wheel moves, but the car windshield doesn't go...
True. I thought I recorded some gameplay of this, but no, I didn't, to make you less queasy. Sorry.
That's all right. I get the idea. I don't need to know anymore.
I need to return to the game just to...
From where?
Yes.
This is actually a program that will help your life.
Oh, I forgot to press the button. Oh, this one, flower, or you're moving
no,
on?
My,
you're moving on
already? I'm moving on.
Okay, Kevin.
I think we've seen everything there is to see.
No, I want to catch the flower and spread the petals. There we go.
Oh, you're spreading the petals.
This is life. This is, I mean, if you're going to live your best life, as you know, I try very hard to, a game like this, just spreading the magic of flowers around.
I do like flowers.
Okay, now you're more with your killing games.
I do like flowers.
Oh, that's pretty.
Oh, so you weren't really playing it. We're just watching videos.
Well, now we are.
Now we are. Okay. It's very pretty. I do like that. And how much? $1.99?
No, $4.99.
$5, yeah. Here's one that's free, although if you don't want the ads, you can pay a couple bucks to get rid of the ads. Okay. And this is not for living. This is for sleeping.
Oh.
And this just got updated. It's called Sleep Plus Plus. I'm going to show you on the iPad, although it's really most useful on the Apple Watch, okay? Mm-hmm. But so they've just added, this is a new feature of Sleep Plus Plus, automatic sleep tracking. So you put it on your watch, and I don't like to wear my watch to bed, but if you do, it will automatically know when you're sleeping. And so I enabled it because I like that idea. And then it will keep track of your sleep, and we can actually show you on the watch itself. Oops, let's see, I put it on here. You know, I finally decided not to use that stupid cloud that they have.
Oh, yeah.
I use just the list.
You never get the right thing.
Yeah, on the watch. So, you're going to have to say it would like access to all your stuff. Oh, I gave it all my motion data. All right, well, let me give it all my motion data on the phone. Maybe that's the problem. Oh, now my daughter's calling. Mm. Here we go. So.
Oh, sorry, I was playing flower.
It's okay, it'll help me sleep. Here's your sleep. It does automatic recording. It actually, this is interesting because I haven't been wearing it, but it just seems to have picked up everything from my watch ever since I got the watch, and it's just kind of recording all this.
Wait,
so
you were only sleeping for 2 hours? Or that was two?
I think that's all I could see because I wasn't wearing the watch to bed. As you know, I use the sleep tracker in my bed.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep tracker, it's called, from Serta, and that's awesome because you don't have to do anything either. But you get lots of information. So what I'm going to do, this is Sleep Plus Plus, and what I'm going to do is it gives you the same kind of information. By the way, let's save it to our health app, right? So this will automatically save sleep information. You'll get a morning sleep summary. I've turned on automatic sleep tracking. You can say what your goal is. You can get a reminder to go to bed. I think I'm going to make it 10 o'clock, right? If you want to get rid of the ads, you pay $1.99. I did that. And then, but this is a sleep tracker for people who don't mind wearing their Apple Watch to bed. I don't like to wear a watch to bed. I don't know about you, but the watch charges fast enough now that you could do that and then charge it in the morning while you're getting ready or having breakfast and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sleep Plus Plus. I think sleep is a big part of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's at least a third.
When you were little, were you afraid that when you went to sleep, you would die?
No, were you?
No.
You know, did your parents make you do that poem, "Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep"? I hope see, that would make you think, I may not make it back.
Yeah.
I hope the Lord my soul to keep.
If I die before I wake,
I hope the Lord my soul to take.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep Plus Plus with Automatic Sleep Tracker from Cross Forward Consulting. There are a number of sleep tracking programs out there, but this one, I think, for $1.99 does a very nice job. See, it gives you kind of... So I'm gonna compare this because I'm wondering if the Serta sleep tracker is more accurate.
Sorry.
I feel like Jimmy Buffett just walked in the studio. Am I wrong? Is it 5 o'clock somewhere?
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Okay, if the cauldron, shirtless man in the cauldron, and the flowers and Bhutan
and death
hasn't made you
appreciate life.
Yeah, appreciate life. Then a cat eating dumplings and bugs.
What could be wrong with that?
The Big Journey. Produced by Catfish. Tap to continue. Chapter 1, Home Sweet Home. Go in search of Mr. Chew with Mr. Whiskers and friends. I am allergic to cats, so cat games.
Oh, so you can't have a cat?
No.
But you can have a dog?
Yes.
There's something wrong about that.
Tap on my belly to select a new cat to play. Okay. Mr. Whiskers.
Hello, Mr. Whiskers.
Let's do Mr. Whiskers. I did have a cat growing up because my parents didn't care that I, selected. Okay, I've got a character. They didn't care that I was allergic. I just sneezed through the pain. Here we are in Windmill Lands. And if this one, I don't have to steer with the iPad. I just steer this one.
That's a... Ooh.
Ready? Then I'm eating dumplings.
You know, I saw this and I thought this might be a good game. It's kind of like Leo's Fortune.
I want to jump on the jelly. Oh, I missed the jelly.
Oh, because that's a boinger?
Yeah.
Or no. Yeah,
it's a boinger. Oh, no.
It's like a passive boinger.
It is sort of similar to getting over it, right?
Yeah, or Leo's Fortune, which is exactly like.
Is Leo's Fortune is exactly like this?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant your actual fortune.
Fortunately.
So jump on the jelly, Mr. Whiskers.
Mr. Whiskers.
So you can see how you can... Basically, we're all cats rolling down a hill in Windmill Land, jumping on jelly, and there we go, eating dumplings.
It's a platformer with a cute, fuzzy little... Careful, kitty. Those enemies can steal your dumplings by hitting you.
I like the music.
Yeah, so let me show you Leo's Fortune.
Okay, is it just like
Journey? Leo's Fortune is kind of like a well-done version of this.
What?
Like, you know, with great graphics and stuff. Let's skip the... it is very similar, and this is a very well-known game that's been out for an awfully long time. And I'm just kind of, I'm wondering a little bit if... Right?
Oh, yes. I remember Leo's Fortune.
I'm wondering a little bit if they didn't know about Leo's Fortune ahead of time.
What?
Yeah, it's kind of similar. Except he's not a kitty. He's just a fuzzball with a mustache.
And that's how...
And I don't have a boinger. I have to just build up speed.
You're right. This is much prettier than the Big Journey.
Well, yours is cartoonish, right?
Yeah. It depends on, the art.
And this is more real, kind of intended to be realistic art.
Oh. But he's not a cat. What is he?
He's just a fuzzball with a mustache.
Okay.
Unless a cat has a mustache. I'm stuck. This is also like the guy in the cauldron with a hammer.
Build up speed for...
I know.
Kevin is a Leo's Fortune
Do you
expert.
Like this game?
I don't know what it is, but I know what you got to do.
He's just better at games than we are.
Follow the arrow with your finger.
Like, I know. I see the arrow.
Make the arch. Jump.
I think you have to tap it or something. Anyway, you get the idea. I really like this game.
Yeah.
I just noticed the kind of similarity.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want Leo's Fortune not to get credit.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for pointing that out.
For being the first to do Fuzzball.
The Big Journey.
The Big Journey.
That one is called.
Now, this one's unique. It's called Driving to Canada.
I'm glad we've finally gotten to a unique game because you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a guy in a...
This is an 8-bit zombie game, which I think you might say is not really unique, right?
And I never swing dead cats. Sorry if I offended anyone.
No, we shouldn't. Now, this is a game. This is $12. So one of the reasons I'm showing it is because you might... See, I'm going into sports and jorts. That's the... Oh no, the zombies are coming for me. I'm gonna get
that always happens when I get a sports
get waxed. This is it for me. They're eating me. So you get, but what's fun is you build up a posse of people. I'm sorry, did I say driving to Canada? I meant death road to Canada.
Death road to Canada.
Death road to Canada. Did I say driving? I meant death road to Canada. So let's do a new game, okay? So we're going to choose a game slot. Now, you can have different characters with different skills. You can also have buddies, okay? In fact, you can end up getting a whole posse together. If you want familiar characters, there could be people that you've participated with in the past. You see these different modes, which is kind of fun. Let's show you some other game modes. Familiar characters mode. Rare characters mode, long and winding road mode. It's a 25-day driving mode. You have to be very good at that, at this game. The deadlier road mode, you really have to, you know. Short trip to heck. That's the one I would do. Quick 9-day driving mode. Oh, but you got to unlock it first. So once you play the game a little bit, let's go back. Okay, start the game here. You're in the car. Jacqueline hears rumors that Canada is a safe place, free of the threat of zombies, with nothing to gain from waiting around Florida. By the way, you're driving, I should say, from Florida to Canada on the, did I mention, death road to Canada. Shotguns, very effective. So there's lots of gameplay in this. And it's 8-bit, and it's kind of fun. We'll give you a couple more hints here. Paranoid characters can reduce the severity of bandit attacks or reveal the stats of new recruits. So you meet characters, you find out stuff, you have to get food and other supplies, of course, weapons. It's kind of a little bit like a 8-bit kind of iPad version of Left 4 Dead or, you know, one of the other great zombie games. There's a lot of mashing and smashing.
Oh, mashing and smashing.
Yep. You have to explore. Zombie forecast, sparse swarms, calm, near noon. So I think we're all right. We can wander into this house. Shall we bring Tatum or Jacqueline? Let's bring Tatum.
Sure.
Yeah, let's go.
Can we bring one of those sharks from the other game?
Going to equip her with a sonic screwdriver? No, I wish I had a shark, man. I would love to have a shark.
Sharks versus zombies.
Yep.
Fair fight.
Yep. Golly, it's tough. Oh, there's more zombies in here than they really were letting on. Now, sometimes it's better to run from zombies than it is to actually fight them. But she's doing pretty good, I gotta say.
How do you tell the difference between your people and the zombies?
Well, wait a minute. You can't tell?
Well, 8-bit, it's kind of hard.
The zombies are moving slow and they have teeth and they're trying to eat you.
Okay.
You have a weapon and you're smushing them. It's kind of fun. But it's pricey. Uh-oh, I lost my partner, Tatum.
Oh, no. Poor Tatum. You should have brought Jacqueline.
Yeah. So there you go. That's Death Road to Canada, another one that will make you question your existence. Is that the goal, to question our existence?
Ponder. Question. Ponder.
Contemplate.
Appreciate. Contemplate.
Our existence.
Mm-hmm.
Hungry Shark. Death Road to Canada. Lichtspear. Actually, Death Road to Canada is pretty fun. If you like that kind of game. Mm-hmm. Top down, 8-bit, zombie smashing.
Yeah, it seems like your games were all very violent. Zombies, sharks.
I had one with sleep, which is the next best thing to dying.
Well, you have to rest with all the work that you've been doing. And you know what else contemplates?
I do know.
How much you have to pay for
I need
mortgage.
A new home.
You do?
Yeah.
You do. We all do. You do.
I can tell you one thing. When we do buy a new house, we're not doing what we did with the old house. We went to a bank.
Me neither.
The bank, the big one. And you have to get dressed. Actually, you want to kind of dress up. You want to look like you can afford a house. Right,
right? Exactly.
Impress the banker, like who's just some nitwit. I mean, I don't know why, but I wanted to impress him. And then he gives you a form, like a 20-page application. So you got to fill it all out. Probably don't know everything. Have to call for a lifeline. Call your mom. When was I born, mom? Things like that. What city? And then you give him that, and he says, okay, go home. We'll be in touch. And then they say, okay, but now we need this, 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 and this. And believe it or not, you have to go into the attic. You have to find, like, pay stubs from past jobs or bank statements from years gone, long gone by. And then you have to fax it to them.
Mm-hmm.
This is a game. I want to write a game for the iPad. Find a fax. Good luck. Nobody has faxes anymore. So this was like 4 years ago. And all of this took months. I mean, it sounds like I'm exaggerating. When we found the house, we loved the house. We had to get a mortgage because like most people, we couldn't write a check for the house. Went to the bank and we said, you know, we're going on vacation in 5 weeks. We'll be moved in by then, right? 5 weeks later, we're on vacation. We're calling Lisa's sister saying, Debbie, can you fax? Yes, fax this, that, and the other. They came back 3 or 4 or 5 times saying they wanted more stuff. Okay, never doing that again. Now, fast forward to the modern times, the 21st century, and Quicken Loans, the number one lender in the country. By the way, congratulations, Quicken Loans. Not only now the biggest, but also number one in your hearts for 8 years in a row, number one, according to J.D. Power, in customer satisfaction for both mortgage approval, loan origination, but also loan servicing. They're very good. And they created something that is specifically aimed at what I just went through. It's called Rocket Mortgage. Lets you apply online. Simply You can answer, you know, there's no 20-page app. You could even do this on your phone. You go to rocketmortgage.com/iOS today, answer some questions, a handful that you know the answer to, birth date, you know, where you live, stuff like that, social. Then they have relationships with all the financial institutions already. So all you have to do is give them permission. Yeah, you can go get my, you know, I don't have to go to the attic. You're going to do that for me? Awesome. Yeah, go ahead and ask the bank. Then when they get the information, and this is all happening while you're holding your phone in your hand, they crunch the numbers, and based on income, assets, and credit, Rocket Mortgage analyzes all the home loan options for which you qualify. You choose the rate, the term, the down payment, and you get a loan. Under 8 minutes, rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. You could do this at an open house. And before you leave, show the realtor. Say, look, I'm approved. Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I can tell you right now. Oh, hey, it is time to refi, right? Because the interest rates are going up. Now's the time to look at a refi, too. They've got great rates at rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Quicken Loans, the 21st century finally has arrived in the mortgage industry. rocketmortgage.com/iOS today.
All right, it's time to put our thinking caps on, or our foreseeing caps. What did Johnny Carson call them when you try to see the future?
Karnak the Magnificent.
Yes. Time to put our Karnak hats on. Apple announced a mysterious education event.
Yeah, March 27th. That's a week from today, right?
Mm-hmm. We will be here.
Yeah, you and I will be here bright and early because it's 10 a.m. Chicago time, 8 a.m. our time.
That's very early.
Ay, 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 caramba. Coffee's on me.
Okay.
let's get bagels, too. We'll get bagels. Would that make you happier? What would you like to have to eat?
I would like a new iPad.
Okay. That may be what you're going to get. I don't know. It's at a school. It's at a Chicago prep school. Mm-hmm. So, you know, of course, Ming Chi Kuo of KGI Securities and the other analysts are all saying, okay, this is what we expected. Number one, Apple doesn't have a low-cost laptop for education, right?
Right.
So the cheapest laptop Apple makes is pretty old. It's the MacBook Air for $999. It has the bad screen. Not bad screen, but it's low-res screen. It's not Retina.
And
old
it's not,
processors,
yeah, it's not,
three
yeah,
or four years old.
The processor isn't strong enough for what kids do these
right.
days.
So the prediction is, since they haven't taken the MacBook Air off their price list, maybe it's time for a kind of a repositioning of the MacBook Air as the laptop for education. Kids do like it because it's light, it's thin, right? Mm-hmm. So Ming Chi and others have said, we're gonna see a $799 to $899. Still a little expensive for schools, especially when you're comparing it to Chromebooks or even iPads. MacBook Air, unknown. Will it have a Retina screen? I hope it does. I think I would buy this, frankly. You know what? I won't buy it. The one thing that would stop me is that, and I bet they do this, that awful keyboard.
The
non-travel keyboard. It's mm-hmm. terrible. I mean, this keyboard on my iPad's better than the MacBook mm-hmm. keyboard. You know, I mean, this has more travel and feels better. Anyway, I bet you they'll put the MacBook keyboard on it, but we'll see.
I'm ready for a new MacBook, I think.
Now, germane to this show, there is a rumor that they will do a low-cost iPad, maybe a sub-$300 iPad for school.
Or just, I need them to do something that's equivalent to Google Classroom. I would rather...
They do. They have something good. So, okay, good news for you. Here's excitement. In fact, this may be, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't announce any new hardware at all mm-hmm. and merely announce ClassKit, which is something in iOS 11.3. We've seen it in the beta already, which is designed for teachers to create curricula on the iPad.
Well, because, I mean, something that is as good as Google Classroom, because, Google Classroom is great.
Is that what your husband uses in school, is Google Classroom?
No, they use, like, a proprietary nonsense thing, but...
No, there's people who use Blackboard or Moodle, but Google Classroom is one of the reasons that Google's Chromebooks are dominant in education now. They're growing faster than anything, beating Windows. Apple really kind of has been out of it for a while because their stuff's so expensive. So this is going to be Apple's bid. Whatever they do, this is going to be their bid. A week from today, we're going to come in early. We'll do iOS today immediately afterwards. My prediction is we'll be able to get iOS today on time. I don't think they'll do a 3-hour event.
No.
Or maybe they'll do a 1 hour, 2 hour event. Anyway, we'll get into iOS right after. I was thinking of recording it earlier, but then we would miss whatever it is they announce. Mm-hmm. And if they announce new iPads, we want to talk about it.
Right, yeah. Whatever they're going to talk about, we're going to talk. Whatever they talk about, we'll talk about.
Now, here's some other, show the invite. Because the invite is an apple, but it's drawn in calligraphy with a pen. Mm-hmm. And so there is, and I wouldn't be surprised at all, also the rumor that there might be, look at that.
A new pencil.
A new pencil.
What do you want from a new pencil?
Well, that's the problem. I don't know what you would do.
Yeah.
Except I guess you'd improve it. Maybe improve battery life or, the pencil's pretty darn good.
What about pencil, being able to use the pencil on a cheap iPad that you can use the pencil on?
There you go. Because right now you have to get an iPad Pro, which is a more expensive mm-hmm. iPad. Then there are, we've seen rumors about, a new iPad Pro. Maybe they'll announce it there. It seems odd that they would do it at a school. The last time they did a school event, they've done school events before. That's when they announced, what did they announce at the last school event? I feel like a MacBook. Oh, no.
Oh, Swift.
It was software.
Swift Playgrounds.
Yeah, they announced iBooks mm-hmm. or the what do they call it? The thing for making iBooks for school. And they, iBooks Author. And I don't think they announced Swift. This was like 2012. This is a long time ago. I think they announced iBook Author. So they've done a school event before, but that was just software. So that's why it might not be, you may be disappointed. It might not be as cool as you think it is.
Well, the one thing, I a new pencil, fine. New iPads, new MacBooks, all fine.
Fine.
But I really think what I want as a parent of three school-age kids is...
A rubber iPad.
An equivalent to Google Classroom. An Apple-type thing that doesn't...
What does Classroom do that you like so very much?
It's easy for the kids to collaborate on. The teachers, like, I get an email, here are all their assignments. Like, I can log in and see everything they're working on. They can save their papers. Everything's in the cloud. They can share.
They can go, if they don't remember their assignment, they could go there and look at their assignment.
And we've talked about iWork and how it's free, but it's not easy. It's not easy. There's too much of a jump. And we're not talking about teachers being, a million years old who grew up with typewriters. I'm talking about teachers who've grown up with technology and it's still too hard. Google Classroom is just so easy.
It uses Google Docs.
Yeah, Google Docs, yeah. Google Sheets, yeah. Google, whatever they'd make presentations
it's cheap.
With.
And Chromebooks, schools love Chromebooks because they're inexpensive.
And so, but then we are handing over all of our children's information to Google.
Well, they have some rules for privacy in there. It's not because they're kids. They Google initially did get dinged for that. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they've added some privacy guards. No?
Some, but not enough. And especially with just everything with Facebook going on right now, like everything with Cambridge Analytica and all of this, I'm just feeling really nervous about what in the future, are we going to say like, oh yeah, we should have known we were handing over all of this stuff?
You think really though, Milo's seventh grade paper on the kings of England is anything that in the long run, Google's going to be able to use against him?
I don't think it's the paper. It's the connect. It's all of the data connected, because then
you don't get. That's why Facebook really frosts me, because you give them much more personal data than you give Google, right?
Well, I mean, Google stopped search.
Google stopped. Well, search is a lot. You're right.
Searching for
Google stopped reading your mail. They no longer look at your mail to figure out what ads to give you. And I think that was kind of proactive, getting ready for this new frosty environment. But you're right. Search is even if they don't use Classroom, they're going to use Google Search. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't use Google Search, right?
Exactly.
So you are giving them a lot. I mean, I think maybe in a way you might be better off using Classroom because it has some privacy restrictions over and above what a eighth grader would have just using Google Search. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That I think that in some ways this is a better thing because they at least you know what the rules are and what they're doing. I, for some reason, and maybe it's foolish of me, but I'm not as worried about Google as I was about Facebook. There's a bigger challenge of how do you get rid of Google in your mm-hmm. life? I stopped using Gmail for my mail. But you're going to use Google Search.
Yeah, we use Google Apps.
And we use Google Docs like crazy here. I don't think there's that much in Google Docs that they can use that is use against me.
I think it's I think Google Classroom is making kids think like that. That's how you. That's the only word processing they know.
Well, that's why Apple wants to be in the classroom. Same reason. If a kid grows up using an Apple product, that was always the. That's why they put Apple IIs in every classroom in the country. But Kevin, did you what? Now you're a youngster. Mm-hmm. What kind of computer did you have in like grade school? Did you have Apples in there?
Yes.
And do you are you like you still an Apple fan?
No, I have a laptop.
You don't care.
A fan. Don't
you
care.
Use whatever. It doesn't matter to you, right?
I know both OSs.
Yeah. I just gave him a Linux laptop because he wants to learn Linux.
Thanks. Next month.
But, I mean, I think that's the point. I don't think that's so. That was the thesis in the old days was, we'll put Macs in every classroom, and the kids will grow up, and they'll just want to use Macs. Microsoft has done the same thing with a Microsoft Office. They'll want to use Office. And the truth is, things change so much by the time you get out of school. Who knows what you'll be using? I'm not too worried about that. I think the privacy concerns are legitimate. And I think people can learn so much from you about what you search for. So I think that that's probably something we should keep an eye on. You know what? Let's read the classroom restrictions. But you're right, though. I think what you're going for here, not to put words in your mouth, is that, well, we trust Apple more than we trust Google.
I do. Yeah. I think there's more of our stuff is on the device. And I think
Apple's really made a stake, put a stake in the sand. We're going to protect your privacy. We respect your privacy.
And it's not that I think that, oh, you're learning Google Docs and you're not going to be able to learn anything else. I'm thinking that you're just like, oh, I trust Google. I learned about Google Docs through my teacher.
Right.
And so it must be fine to then use everything else that comes from Google from here on in.
Right.
So speaking of privacy, another big privacy story, Telegram, which is one of your favorite
apps.
Love
Telegram, yeah.
They just lost their bid to stop the Russians from demanding that they hand over the encryption keys to the FSB. So you want to talk about that a little bit? Or not?
Well, this is the problem in general. It's kind of funny because Telegram was started by Pavel Durov, who was often called the Zuckerberg of Russia. Mm-hmm. He created a social network in Russia that was very popular. So popular, in fact, that the Russian oligarch said, very, very good job, Pavel. Thank you very much. We'll now take this from you. And he left Russia in exile because they basically stole his Russian Facebook. That's when he created Telegram. And so I think he's somewhat anti-Russian. And I think he probably, doesn't want to give up any keys to Russia. But if you are a company, whether it's Telegram or Apple or Google, and you do businesses in these countries, you have two choices, either not to do business in the country or to adhere to the laws of that country. So it's not surprising that Russia asked for those. I'm sure if they ask for those from Apple, Apple will give them up because you don't have a choice. You do if you're doing business in that country, you got to follow the laws of that country. And the problem is there are a lot of countries that have do not respect the privacy of their citizens. And I don't use Telegram. What we've always said about Telegram is because they use their own encryption technology, they don't use a standard encryption technology. I've never considered them fully secure. They've never really proven that they're as secure as, say, Signal. So I think probably it's a good idea not to use Telegram for secure stuff anyway. They have an encrypted form, but it's only kind of good enough encryption, not strong encryption. If you really want privacy, you should use Signal. The good news is, even though Signal is available in Russia, they don't do business in Russia because it's an open source free project. And so there's nothing the Russian government really can do to Signal to get those keys. And Signal doesn't even have the keys because of the way they work. So I think you're probably a little better off using something like Signal if you want to have really safe communications.
All right. I wanted to mention again our dash cam that we both like, the Owl dash cam that I talked about last week.
You still using that?
I'm still using it. And I want to show off this video that it got of me almost getting into an accident.
Ooh.
This was recorded and look.
What are you doing in that road? Both you and the pickup truck almost hit him.
Yeah. So I thought this was really interesting because I haven't figured out all of the things that you can do with this.
Now, what did you do? Did you say, okay, presto, and save it?
Yeah, so I said, okay, presto, but it didn't save, right, look at that. It didn't save, it saved right, like, past. Because, like, by the time I was like, oh my God, I almost.
Well, you say, okay, presto, after the thing happens, and then it gives you the 30 seconds before you say it.
So by the time I was, like, relieved from not getting in an accident and realized I could say, okay, presto, I was like, oh,
But that worked, right?
No, it didn't. It didn't but then you can go, it's always recording.
Ah.
And so if you go right away to the, let's see.
To the app, you can go back in time.
Yeah, and save
and share. So you said it more than 30 seconds after that. You were going like,
Yeah. So
now, by the way, we should also say that owl supposedly, if you hit that person, would automatically record.
Right. If we gotten in an accident,
yeah.
Then so
it would automatically start uploading still images and then full video to the owl servers.
Right. So it's not constant. It's a constantly
recording, issues.
But
this is. I really feel like the owl is still in beta. For instance, do you get any notifications from the owl? It keeps saying I'm sending a notification, and then I don't get anything.
Oh, I get notifications that there's activity in the car.
Oh, you do. Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe that's me. Maybe I should. Yeah.
So what you can do here is I just did outside last 24. And then it'll show you it connected, and then we saved that video. We found that video. So it took a little while.
If I had remembered
right after, you almost get an accident, then and you say, like, right. Okay, presto, then it would record. But so...
I keep waiting for something exciting to happen.
Yeah, I was too. And this is pretty exciting.
Something happened.
isn't it? Yeah, you can see that.
Now, you
didn't
get her driver's license.
I did.
I mean, her license plate.
You can. Yeah,
you can see it.
Yeah, you can see it if you
stop it right there. Oh, you can read it. So you could read it off of that.
Yeah. And I was with one of my kids, and he was like, "Well, let's go to the police." I'm like, "Eh, no."
For what?
I don't know. She ran the stop sign. Look.
Yeah, I got video.
Yeah.
I wonder now. See, this is talking about privacy.
I know. Look at all.
Wonder now that you have that video, if you could go to the police and say, "See, I have proof that this person." Mm-hmm. Ran the stop sign, and then they would write her a ticket, you think?
I don't know. But the truth is, I'm not exactly sure that I wasn't speeding. It seems like I should have been going a little bit slower.
Well, the other thing that you should remember about the owl is that it not only is taking a picture of that, but it's also
the inside,
the other side. And if you get the video of the other side.
Yeah, I was watching Netflix,
I think you should show
too,
that.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, so it can bust you as well as it. But I think that's for insurance purposes. That's kind of what you want because, for instance, I remember running into a rake in the middle of the highway because it had fallen off a gardener's truck. And my insurance company said, well, you shouldn't have hit that. And so if I'd had video of it, like showing how I couldn't see it, and then it was there instead of. Or, you know, maybe you would have video of you reading a book and then running into it. But if you had the video of you paying attention, but there was no way to see it, that would help you with insurance claims, mm-hmm. things like that, mm-hmm. right? So that's why I have it. I haven't yet had anything bad happen, so I don't.
Yeah.
If you were driving an Uber, for instance, or if you weren't driving an Uber and you ran into somebody and killed them, you would have video. Mm-hmm. By the way, they do have video of that Uber accident.
Well, I read this morning, I think, that they said it would have happened.
It was unavoidable. And that was my first thought when I heard about this. Now, we're talking about something that happened in Tempe, Arizona. One of the Uber autonomous vehicles with a safety driver behind the wheel but not in control, ran into and killed a pedestrian. She was on her bicycle, actually walking her bicycle. It was 10 at night. Across a four-lane street. I don't know if you've been to Tempe, but they have very big, broad streets where people go fast. The Uber was going 40 miles an hour. And these vehicles do have video front and back, just like your Owl Cam, only it's even better. And after reviewing the video, the police in Arizona said, yeah, there's nothing anybody could have done. The driver couldn't have done anything. The car couldn't do anything. And that was my first reaction is when I hear an autonomous vehicle hit something, either something's wrong with the vehicle, or it was unavoidable. And that in this case, it's tragic. And I'm sorry for the loss of life, but it was probably unavoidable. And they said, yes, she was in the shadows, she was not visible. Suddenly appeared. Car's going 40 miles an hour. If you appear right in front of a car, I don't care how good a driver you are, you cannot. Physics will keep you from stopping. So, they are suspending though all Uber autonomous vehicle testing all over the country for some time now. It's very tragic, but I think that's where video can be very valuable, give you an idea of what really happened. And as I hope this doesn't hurt autonomous vehicles because we know they'll save lives.
Mm-hmm.
I think there'll be some group of people who will say, "Well, see, self-driving cars are dangerous, but no human would have stopped either. Been able to stop either."
And the people that in non-self-driving cars that killed someone like that probably have happened 10 times a day or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I still think that more lives would be saved by self-driving cars. And I don't think lives would be lost because they're autonomous.
Mm-hmm. I want to show off my new case. This is from Pad and Quill. It's the Oxford.
You know, I
case.
Was wondering, because I saw the stitching on that. I thought, that looks awfully nice. Was that the case? This is a new one.
Yes. It says the Oxford. So it's
I
new
like
from Pad.
Stuff.
I love Pad and Quill. Yeah. Them and this is and Nomad. They were my favorite. Oh, I don't have the Nomad case on it. Well, anyway.
I've been pretty steady with the Apple case you gave me.
Yeah.
I like it.
So this is not cheap. It's $129, but it's real Horween leather, and you can keep your stuff in there. And
she's not calling it a name. That's the company in Chicago that makes the leather, Horween.
I thought it was the cow.
No.
But
it's
also
a company. It's not a cow. Heifer would be
but
a
it
cow.
It was a cow.
Holstein with leather would
okay.
be a cow.
Horween. Thank you.
Horween is a company.
But it has a little pencil case, which is really nice.
I love having that loop. Man, that's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I ever use the pencil. Do you ever use your pencil?
I don't really.
It looks good carrying that around.
I'm kind of up in my travel.
And
game,
with your red keyboard, can you? It doesn't have a place for it. But
no, this is more for travel. When I mean, you could put a keyboard there. But yeah, no, my keyboard case is my studio neat case.
Yeah, you're not going to abandon
that.
It's
not as neat.
Not very,
very
neat
dirty,
at all.
Yeah, but
it's got schmutz. That's just schmutz. Schmutz happens.
Yeah, and I have another product.
I want a bumper sticker that says schmutz happens.
Okay.
Just saying.
I'll make that happen. You know, we've talked about about wireless charging cases, and some are stands and some are pads. And Nomad has
it's a stand pad.
It's both. So this is great for traveling because it you can have a stand and then you put this.
It's got a slot
that here
makes a stand and you just attach the back.
Yeah.
It's a little bulky, but of course, you know, it's going to be.
It is a little bulky. I like it because sometimes I do like a stand and sometimes I like the stand and sometimes I like the pad.
Sometimes you feel like a stand, sometimes you don't.
What I don't like about it
is
it's supposed to be for travel, but this is a plug. Like, why doesn't it have just a USB plug that I can use for other
it's
stuff?
It's got a proprietary cable.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
No.
Nope.
No. So, failure on Nomad's part, but, you know, I don't understand why they call it a wireless travel stand and they don't make it a non-proprietary plug that you can use. Because the biggest thing about traveling is I want to bring fewer plugs.
Right.
And so that I can use them for different things.
I hope everything goes type C at some point.
Hope so too. I really have come to love type C.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too.
So those are my new products of the week.
Nice. And this is the Apple Folio case, a leather case, a little pricey, $99, but it's turned out to be the case that I carry with me
I'm
all the time.
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, thank you for buying it for me.
Yeah, thank you for buying it for you. All right, we got some time for some questions.
Oh, yeah, this was a tough one.
Oh, yeah. That is
oh, yeah.
A tough one.
Oh, it was a tough
should
one.
Should we get to the tough
one?
Let's start with
no,
the easy
No, do whatever.
One.
Do the
okay.
easy first.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is from Aiden from Ireland, who actually solved his own problem, but then asked another problem. He said, I've subscribed to the 200-gigabyte iCloud plan to back up the family photos on everyone's phone. However, I cannot find the backed up photos on any of my devices. My iPad and the kids' phones are logged into my Apple account and my wife's phone is linked via family sharing. I've searched the Photos app and cannot find photos backed up from any iPhone on the other devices. All links to iCloud photos and my photo stream have disappeared.
You were an English major.
Mm-hmm. What did I say wrong?
I'm sorry. I got distracted by families on there.
Oh, sorry.
Did you type that in?
I just cut and pasted it from Aiden's
Well, he's
email.
Irish. Maybe they do it differently in Ireland. It should be F-A-M-I-L-Y apostrophe S, right?
Yeah, I should probably correct. Okay. I should correct them.
Well, no, I'm just... Okay, so now what was the question?
Okay, so he has 200 gigabytes.
Where did they go, he's asking.
Where did they go? And then, so I've asked him a few follow-up questions, and he said that's when he discovered that his daughter
ate it.
Said, my daughter didn't like all the family photos appearing on
them.
Her phone, so she was deleting them every time I tried to back up,
God.
Not realizing she was deleting them from iCloud as well. So, I know, she didn't realize it. It's hard to realize that at first, too.
No, why would you think that?
Yeah. You'd think that it would just delete them from my phone and they'd be everywhere else. So he says that he would like to keep her phone linked to her account, to his account.
Well, he could turn off on her phone, turn off the photo sharing capability, you know, the photo iCloud photo stream. Library.
Yeah.
Just turn that off and she won't get those pictures. In general, though, this is a problem that can happen. And it often happens. There's a transition point when they're children and then they become adults and you don't get them their own iCloud account. This is really, really important. It happened with me and Henry. He's in college. I'm starting to get his texts. I don't want to see his texts from college. I really don't. And we realized the problem was that we were sharing, because we had, you know, when you're kids, you share the iCloud account and all that. So that's what family sharing is great. You see, they have separate accounts. That was something we didn't have. So step one is everybody should have their own account. Use family sharing to share. And then if you have a situation like this, just turn off iCloud Photo Library. Don't delete the photos. Just turn it off in your Photos app on your iPhone, and you won't see those photos streaming anymore. You can also take somebody out of your family.
That's harsh.
That seems harsh.
That's really harsh.
But you can do that if their attitude is, I don't want anything shared, but people want music sometimes, or they want apps, and so. But that there's a concomitant responsibility. If you're part of the family, you're going to get the gosh darn pictures, or turn off the photo library. So I'll show you that real quickly in the.
It's confusing.
It is, and you know I understand why. She said, "All these pictures are on my phone. I don't want them. Let me just delete them."
Yeah,
and I completely understand that. That's perfectly sensible thing to do. So we're going to go down here to photos in the settings. iCloud Photo Library. Automatically upload and store your entire library in iCloud to access photos and videos from all your devices. He's got that turned on. If she doesn't want her pictures going to the family cloud, she should turn that one off. By the way, this is convenient. Notice all those photos will be gone. But that's probably not what, I mean, it may be one setting she wants. Because she doesn't want to share her pictures. This setting also, automatically upload new photos and send them to all of your iCloud devices when connected to Wi-Fi. Again, that's something he has, but might want to turn off on her phone. But this is, in my opinion, this is the real culprit. iCloud photo sharing. Subscribe to other people's shared albums. So there's three different things she might want to turn off. You're right, this is so confusing. iCloud photo library, if she doesn't want her photos to go to the family, right? Same here, upload to the photo stream. How those are different, I don't know.
Well, yeah, the photo stream and the photo library are
different things.
Yeah, and I think the photo stream is, I'm going to get this wrong, but one of them is what's on your phone right now versus what's in your library, like what's saved on all of your...
Yeah, photo stream is new photos.
Right,
and library is all photos.
Yeah, photo stream is like it's the last 3,000 or the last 2 weeks or something like that. iMore has a great.
That's kind of the best thing to do.
Yeah, it's like what's the difference between my photo stream and my photo library? Go there, read all about it. I read it all and it still made very little sense to me.
And if she turns off just the top one, iCloud photo library, basically that's going to turn off everything and remove all pictures. Photos and videos that have not been fully downloaded will be removed from this phone. The items will still be available on other devices using iCloud Photo Library. That's what you want, right? You want everybody else in the family to have access to those. So I don't want to download. If you don't want to download a copy, just say remove from iPhone. All the pictures that we were shared from the photo library will be gone. I'm not going to do that because I don't want to delete those all. But when you turn that off, then it grays out these other features because you can't do that without the photo library first. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's complicated. The thing about this is that, you know, if you have your kids sharing their photos automatically, like if you see all the photos they take, like it gives you their sort of, when they're young, you might want
that. Well, that's
that.
Exactly. There's this transition point where you do want that and then you don't.
But you might, I don't know. It's hard because once they're smart enough, they'll just use Snapchat or anything else to...
Well, I don't think you should use this as a way to spy on your kids.
No, you should... My point is don't have a false sense of security that you're seeing all the photos that your children are taking because you're connected.
Right. They're probably not putting them
on there. Probably using Snapchat or...
Well, but it's so complicated. It's easy to accidentally share stuff. So kids, you know, you should pay attention to this too. You know, it's easy to do to send mom and dad pictures you didn't want to send. But you have ultimate control on your phone. His daughter had ultimate control on her phone. Instead of deleting those photos, which was deleting them everywhere, she should just turn off the iCloud photo library. Mm-hmm.
And someone pointed out that, yes, it does say, like, you know that this is going to be deleted on all your devices. But we know, you know, I'm like, oh, warning. Yes,
it doesn't
yes,
say
yes.
that, though, if you delete them one by one, or does it? Does it? I guess it does. You're
probably
right.
Probably does. But
yeah, I think it does.
Those? Not 13-year-olds.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the tough question. This one is also about sharing. I use a PC as my main iTunes computer and have some digital movies I didn't download from iTunes that I dragged into my playlist. I can use Family Share to watch them on my other Apple devices. The only thing is that my PC has to be on and awake for it to work. I tried the remote desktop client app, but I couldn't get it to work. I was wondering, is there a better way to do family sharing?
Yeah, buy everything from Apple. So if you think about it, anytime you're going to watch a movie that's stored somewhere, that storage location has to be available. When you use family sharing with books, movies, and TV shows that you purchased on Apple's iTunes, it's coming to you from the Apple servers. It's awake. Apple servers never sleep. On the other hand, if the only source, as in this case, of that movie is your PC, that's where it's coming from, then that PC has to be, the movie data has to be available from the PC. Otherwise, they won't be able to watch it, right? Mm. So the PC has to be awake and running. In effect, your PC is now a server. So it's just the way it is when you have content you want to watch, whatever server, whatever hard drive, whatever computer it's on, that's got to be awake. And that's why family sharing works best when you're sharing stuff that you bought from Apple, because its servers never sleep.
Mm-hmm. So buy everything from Apple. That doesn't sound fair.
Or keep your computer awake. You know, if it's going to be a server. That's why a lot of people use an NAS, for instance, like the Synology that we've talked about before. That's it's called a network-attached storage device. It's really a computer with lots of storage, terabytes of storage, no keyboard, mouse, and monitor. It connects to your network, and it shows up everywhere. In fact, it can be an iTunes media server. So one solution to this would be to have a network-attached storage device that the movie lived on. That's always on. That's what a NAS is. It never goes to sleep. And so then your PC can go to sleep. Doesn't matter. The NAS will stay there and continue to serve.
One more question. This one came from Joe from Ridgecrest, California. He says, I'll be traveling to Italy for 2 weeks this May, and I need your advice. We will be visiting 4 cities, Venice, Florence, Naples, Rome, over 2 weeks. Should I lug around my Nikon D610 and assorted lenses, or go lightweight and DSLR free with my iPhone X? Would the iPhone X be more versatile with some lens adapters like the Zenvo or the OliClip? Not available yet for the iPhone X?
No. This is going to be up to you. You're never going to get DSLR quality on an iPhone. iPhone's very good. But there are a couple of things it doesn't do well. He's trying to solve those things. One is primarily telephoto. So if you're something far away, you can press the 2X button. But then it's not telephoto. Then it's really more like a 55-millimeter lens. So if let's say you're in Venice and you're down there in the Piazza San Marco and you want to get a beautiful picture of the lion up on the stele there, the beautiful golden lion. On an iPhone, you're going to get a picture of the pillar, and a line will be tiny, it'll be distant. It's 12 megapixels, so you can somewhat zoom in and editing and crop it and maybe get a little closer, but it's never going to be as good as a camera with a telephoto lens that you can zoom in and fill the frame with a lion. It's just not. You can go out and get an OliClip or one of these add-on lenses, but they're not very good. In most cases, they kind of sit on top of the regular lens either with an attachment or screw or a clip, but they're not, I mean, price alone tells you they're not the same quality as your Nikon lens. So it really kind of comes down to what kinds of pictures do you want to bring back. If you want to bring some snapshots, I think these camera phones now have gotten so good that they're certainly as good as a point and shoot in most cases. And so if that's what you want, just snapshots of your trip, it's sure great to have that in your pocket. It does the GPS automatically, adds the location. Apple has all sorts of features to let you have stories and stuff from that. You can make albums. So there's a lot of convenience to that. But if you really want that special picture, that portrait that's gorgeous, it's not going to come close to that. I mean, that's really, you know, you have a good camera. It's not going to be as good as the good camera. I always have this debate with myself. Why can't I just bring my phone? I've got great cameras on my phone, but I always end up bringing the and lugging the lenses and the expensive camera because that's where you're going to get the best image quality. So it really comes down to how important image quality is to you. And I don't think we're yet to the point. These are good, but they're not quite to the point where they're as good as a DSLR and certainly not as flexible.
Yeah, you do have beautiful vacation photos.
Yeah, I mean, when we were in the Galapagos, we're in little rubber Zodiac boats and the seals and the penguins and the iguanas, they're maybe 100 feet away. If I'd only had a camera phone, as good as the iPhone X is, I wouldn't really have good pictures of them. They'd be little dots. But because I brought a lens that was this big, I have full frame photos of them. And it really does make a difference to have a good camera. But that's kind of your choices to what you want to get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Where can you see all, isn't it like leo.camera where you can see your pictures?
Yeah, leo.camera.
Show that, Kevin, while we do costume changes.
Oh, costume change
leo.
Time.
Leo.camera.
There you go. See that tortoise? See that iguana? I like that bird one. That one's kind of grown on me. That's one of Darwin's finches.
Oh.
And it's kind of grown on me. At first, I thought this is kind of the one on the branch. This is kind of boring. But as time's gone by, it's kind of grown on me. And there's the one that Lisa really... See, you're not even seeing the whole thing. Yeah, it's too big to fit on the screen.
That's how I feel sometimes during
that was
show.
A perfect example where we're in a rubber Zodiac boat 100 feet away, and without a telephoto, there's no way I'd have captured
really
fun picture.
It's the first day of spring.
It is. It's the vernal equinox. And you're wearing a pepper.
I am.
And I'm wearing a daisy.
Yes. These are our caps, our app caps.
No, they're not. There's no excuse for these at all.
There is.
Happy spring.
Yeah, happy spring. Shall we talk about a favorite app?
Yes, Captain.
It's good that you were talking about photographs because mine, I envy your ability to take great photos because I have a great tool, but I don't always use it in the best way. So this is called the Great Photo app, and it's just a little, it's going to teach me how to take great photos.
Oh,
this
nice.
Dude. That's basics the guy? Of, well,
who's
there's many
you?
People.
Okay.
She's also teaching me.
Oh, nice.
So I can use different types of lenses. This I can learn about. This is Mary. She's going to teach me about focal length.
Oh, this is good.
And I can just flip through this. This is great for me. I'm a newbie, but also great for people, you know, kids who want to learn photography. And it's really very...
Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Oh, I like this. So you're changing the focal length and seeing how... See, this is something you can't really do with an iPhone, anything past that. See, now we're getting zoomed in so close that you can't do that with an iPhone.
No.
An iPhone's great for street photography where you just want the picture to be somebody next to you, but oh, look at that.
I'm glad you think this is great.
600 millimeters.
The Great Photo app. And, go back to the task.
Actually, go back just to show. So if you go back to the left, the iPhone, the normal iPhone is 20, go to 24. It's actually 28 millimeters.
20?
That's what you would see if you had an iPhone. And then if you touch the 2X, go to 50.
Touch the
2X button on the iPhone camera. Scroll a little bit to the right and you'll see the 50 there. Yeah.
50.
One more. Yeah. That's what you'd get. That's the closest you could get.
So that is for...
So, yeah, that's the 2X zoom is 55. So it's 28 and 55 on the iPhone.
Mm.
Now you're doing optical zoom at that point.
Right.
And the problem with that is that's no different than if you took the picture and then blew it up.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, it's not going to... I know it's hard to take this seriously when I'm wearing a daffodil, but
I know.
As a result, it's not going to look good. You're going to see pixelation. It's going to be soft focus. So that's why this is good because this will tell you the difference. You can see immediately what the difference is.
So this was
how much?
Free. It was free right now. Free.
I want to get this.
So it's not usually free.
There's always stuff, even if you are a good photographer and you know all this stuff, it's always good to, you know, you can always learn a little bit more. And if it's free, boy, that's great.
Yeah. I mean,
depth
I think
of field
there's
is a tough one to demonstrate.
In-app purchases normally.
Let's do the task. I want to see if we
move
can
the
learn.
Depth of field in such a way that the green pastry appears in focus.
See, the green macaroon is way in the back.
So do I do focus or aperture?
That's the interesting thing about this. There's always something in focus. That's called the focal plane. But the problem is when you have a very wide open aperture. Actually, you just changed the focus, not the aperture.
So how do I change the? Oh, okay. Wait, how do I change the aperture? Oh, okay.
So if you change the aperture, you can make everything be in focus. Oh. A very narrow aperture makes like a pinhole camera. Everything's in focus. So they're related, but they're different. Mm. Aperture says how shallow or deep the focal plane is, and focus says what you're focused on. He seems smaller than he was earlier.
His head seems
he's
like...
shrunken a little bit. There you go.
So you don't need this, Leo, but I need it.
Oh, this is great stuff. This is good. You could take it's these. Called... This will help you at least understand the terms and some of the things you can do with your camera. See, there you go. You see what's happening is the depth
of
field.
Oh, now it's the aperture. Okay.
Yeah. So when you get the aperture as narrow as possible, almost everything, all the macaroons should be in focus. But I guess it's not letting you do it as.
Oh.
Can you get to F22? There's four. Oh, yeah. See, everything's in focus. Because the focal plane is now very deep.
Mm.
Everything's in focus from brown to pink.
Now I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So the Great Photo app, that's what it is. Right
white
now,
balance. Oh,
it
this is
free.
Nice.
Right at this moment.
It's the best way to learn photography. That's nice.
Yeah, the Great Photo app. Does it say what it normally is on there, or does it say free there, Kevin?
You know, if they have in-app purchases.
Yeah, $2.99 normally.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. Basics of
within in-app purchases, probably more.
What I like about that is I could talk till I'm yellow in the face about what this means, but you have to see it when mm-hmm. you experience it physically. That makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's actually why you are yellow right now, because you've tried to explain this to me for 18 years.
I got my invitation to Fortnite.
Ooh.
This is Epic Games' epic battle royale game. It's still invitation only, although I have three invitations, so every one of you watching can get your own now. Every one of you. So this is a really fun game. We've been playing on the PC and on the Xbox. It's called a Battle Royale. Actually, they have several different modes. The Battle Royale mode, 100 players go into a playing field, and the winner is the last man or woman standing. They have some other games, though. A faster game where the storm zooms in faster and there's more loot. And then Release the Hound, a new Battle Hound outfit and Silver Fang pickaxe in store now. But let's just play a little Fortnite. Here's my character, Chief Twit. And you have a variety of modes you can play, solo, duo, or squad. I'm going to play solo, which means it's me against 99 other people.
Looks a lot like you.
I've joined the server. That's since I've been working out, mm-hmm. really made a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then... and so this is, you're actually playing real people. This is not a squad, you see. So now the way this works, I'm not going to play the whole game because it would take about 20-25 minutes. But it is what you want to know probably is the controls, right? The iPad controls. So you move around with the joystick on the left. You can jump by hitting the jump button. You could switch weapons very simply by actually tapping the weapon. You can build. They have all the building features here. It's one of the things that makes Fortnite such a fun game. And let's get out of building mode and go back to running around. In a bit, the battle bus will come and pick us all up. And we can start the game. I'll just show you how you swing your pickaxe there. Like,
so if you want to play with other people, it has to be on iOS. Like, you couldn't play with someone on their...
That's an interesting question. I don't know if I'm playing other PC people. That's actually, I don't know.
Because I know that my boy's friends play this game, and it's one of those that they can't play because we don't have any sort of gaming system.
Right, but they might be able to play against them. Well, certainly they'll enjoy this game. That's a good question. I don't know if you're playing the same servers. I don't have any reason not to think so. Shall I jump out? Let's do it.
Jump.
Oh, I'm parachuting down.
Do you have a parachute?
Oh, crud. I forgot my parachute. What am I going to do?
Now, this is another game that would help you contemplate your existence here on the Earth.
If you didn't open your parachute, you might, yeah. So you're going to pick your landing zone somewhere on this island. What'll happen is the storm, which is really just, you know, a barrier, will slowly close in on you so that it pushes the players together. Right now, 100 players on this whole island, it's pretty easy not to see anybody, which is good because I don't have any weapons yet. All right, I better open the parachute now.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's a very complicated
parachute. So the graphics, I think, are very good. They take advantage of the iPad. Now, this is an iPad Pro 10.5 inch, so it's a very fast iPad. And I'm going to guess that without that, you'd probably be kind of out of luck. Shall I land in the city? You can see other people landing at the same time. I don't want to land near anybody. And then you're going to get your weapons. You're going to run around. You're going to try not to get shot. Basically, that's the game, ladies and gentlemen. So I wanted to show you the controls. They're pretty good. It's really challenging. Oh. It's really challenging to take a game like this. And this is a map that they have on the... Oh, nice. I got some metal. They have on the same exact map. So, see, the storm eye is going to shrink in 3 minutes and 16 seconds. I'm just looking for something to shoot people with. Oh, he has something. And I'm dead.
Oh,
so now, the fun thing about Fortnite is
wait,
we're
is
now
you,
following
Kevin?
The guy who killed me.
Kevin, is that you?
Kevin, why'd you kill me? So we're going to follow. I play 70th, so good news. 29 people died before I did. I don't know how that happened. So we're going to follow him around. He's obviously a better player than I am. Look, he can... sneak and stuff until he gets killed. Then we'll follow the guy who kills him, and then we'll follow the guy who kills him. See, he's doing the building stuff. This is a really fun game. You have to get an invite by going to the Epic Games, but I have a feeling that they're very close now to rolling this out full time. It's free, at least for now, while they're in whatever mode they're in. There are some in-app purchases, mostly silly things you don't need, like costumes and stuff. It's a great game. I really like it. And I think that the port to iPad has actually been done quite well.
I respect everyone's desire or interest in this game. But to me, Fortnite will always involve sheets and clothespins. And I would like to invite anyone who wants to have Fortnite at my house, please come.
Users on an iPhone and iPad can play against their console friends.
Awesome.
Nice. Doesn't look like PC friends, but console friends. And I'll tell you, I know exactly why that is. Because the controls are different on a PC, and people often think you have an advantage if you can use a mouse and a keyboard mm-hmm. over somebody who has to use a game controller as you do on a console or these controls on the iOS. So they probably want to make it more equal. So that's good news. You can play against console players. If Milo and Huck's buddies are on a mm-hmm. PlayStation, I guess, is it PlayStation and Xbox or just Xbox? Might just be Xbox. If they're playing on an Xbox, no problem. He can play against them. But otherwise, if they're playing on a PC, he can't. This guy's really good. I think Kevin's going all the way. Look at that. Boom. Just got another guy. He's up on the roof sniping. This, to me, is the only way I play Fortnite. I land, I die almost immediately, and then I watch the other guys play. That's pretty much it for me. But it's fun, and it's free. And it looks, look how good that looks. Frame rate seems very good. The texture maps are high quality. I think that this is a very nice port from Epic Games. And that concludes, it is PlayStation and Xbox.
Good to know. What does it conclude?
That concludes my conclusions for this show.
I think it does. Well,
I'm going to stop contemplating life and get on with it.
A little bit of business. Subscribe to the show.
Oh, you want to tell mommy to tell how to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do iOS Today every Tuesday morning at 9:30 a.m. Pacific. That would be 12 noon Eastern time. That would be 1600 UTC. If you want to watch live, you can. And if you do, join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. But of course, this show and all of our shows are available on demand, both audio and video. This show's really a video show because you want to see all the stuff we're talking about. You can listen to it on audio, though, and can imagine. You can download the shows from the website, twit.tv/iOS, or subscribe. You know, get your favorite podcast appliance like Overcast or Pocket Casts or iTunes or whatever, and Subscribe to iOS Today. That way you'll get it each and every week the minute it's done.
Mm-hmm. And even if you watch live, sometimes I notice people in the chat room say, what's that app called? What's
subscribe, because then you can, you know.
Yeah. And
scrub.
Kevin goes through and he puts the URL on.
Oh, yeah. When you're watching the live thing, you're right. You're not seeing as much of the show as you would see if you download it. That's a very good point.
Kevin spends the next.
All day.
All day. That's all he does. And while he's playing Fortnite, he just does all this work, and he does it for you.
He sure does.
For you.
He sure does. This Kevin's doing really well. Kevin, 10275. Props. Hats off to you, my friend.
Yeah, I think that's all. If you want to be part of the show, we love to get your videos. So you can email me, Megan at twit.tv. Or you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Megan Maroney. You can DM me. Put your videos up on YouTube. Send me the link. You can even, people have sent me their videos. Make them short. And tell me, you know, ask your question or give your comment.
This guy is good. He just booby-trapped the ceiling of this house. He's waiting for somebody to come in. He's just going to clobber him.
And that's it. And please continue to contemplate your existence here on Earth as you're playing Fortnite or a game where you're in a cauldron or whatever it is you do with your iOS device.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on iOS Today. Bye-bye.